Blog Talk Radio. Today is Wednesday, October 11th, 2017, and this is Foxology. I am Silver Ray Fox, your host. Happy Wednesday evening to you. Thanks for taking the time to listen. I surely do appreciate you for that, and I hope you all are doing well as we all continue to maneuver our way through the many entertaining and interesting things that are going on in our world. Those are the best terms I could come up with. Weird is probably something I should have thrown in there. But anyway, some days it is just hard to keep from reeling. You feeling that too? These are truly unbelievable times. We sure do need to find an end to all of the chaos, and I am one who is surely hoping that comes soon. We need some things to calm all the way down, and may God help us to come up with some solutions to do that. And I really do mean that and pray that. Well, all right, enough of that serious stuff. Let's go to something that's on a much less serious note. Well, tonight we're going to be talking about a very popular topic, that's skin care, tender, loving care for your skin, tips for looking younger, longer. Men and women everywhere are spending lots of money, as they always have. It's a multi-billion-dollar industry, and we all do it to keep our youthful appearances, particularly as we age. We want to, and we just want to do everything we can to say no and goodbye to lines and wrinkles and to try to retain smooth, good-looking skin. Well, it can be done. My guest tonight is Carol Stover. She is a professional makeup artist, and she is going to talk about some of the things that we can do. She works with a lot of people, a lot of ethnicities, and so she's going to tell us how we can go about maintaining that glow at all ages and stages of beauty. Welcome, Carol.
Thank you, Silver Ray. How are you, darling?
I'm doing fantastic, fabulous, trying to keep my youthful appearance.
Aren't we all? That's the trick.
I tell you, it gets a little challenging. I can remember, I literally remember the first time I saw a line come underneath my eye. I was about 28, and I could not believe it. It was just really hilarious.
It's a terrible day.
Because
Isn't that a terrible day?
Well, I don't know if I thought it was terrible. I didn't think about it much more after I, you know, discovered it. But I thought, oh, wow. Oh, this is interesting. A line underneath my eye. Oh, okay. I guess this is, you know, the start of it all. But
it changes.
I knew things to do to combat that. But what I guess I found so very interesting is that it just pops up. It seems, you know, a line will just pop up on your face, and
all of a sudden,
just kind of startling. But But while I say that about myself, I wanted to start this conversation with a little story that I saw a couple of weeks ago, and you probably heard the story about the 50-year-old woman. Her name is Tess Christian, who hadn't smiled in 40 years because that's her way of combating lines and wrinkles.
Wow. So how did that work out for her?
Well, actually, she looks pretty good. I mean, I you would never guess her to be 50. But I thought that would be a kind of cute, fun way for us to start this conversation off, because I I'm gonna have you talk about that, some of the steps that we do take. But I just think it's very interesting, the whole idea of aging, especially as I have grown into the later stages of my. There are some things, I don't care what you do, you're not gonna be able to stop it. You know, you
That's
can
true.
do a lot of things that will enhance how you look, but I'm learning that there are things that just happen with the process of getting older that unless you you know, have some real interesting types of genes where you just really don't get that look of aging, it's going to happen to you.
It does.
So
it
I
does.
Wish,
but you know,
yeah,
I
so,
think, go ahead, love. I think we have changed our perception of aging, and I'm glad to see this because I remember my first wrinkle and my first gray hair, and I was in my 20s too, and I was so shocked, just like you, and thought, hey, this cannot be happening to me. I'm a hip chick. I'm young. I have so much going on. I never would have thought of that happening so soon to me, but I'm 60 now, and I have plenty of gray hairs, and I dye them a beautiful shade of red, depending on my mood, and I have a lot of fun with it. So I think fun
Definitely.
And having a good outlook is so critical. Now, when you think back to your grandmother, okay, now I've seen your picture. You're a beautiful woman, and you've got the good genes we're talking about, but just think to your grandmother, okay, so when you were a little girl, and think about your grandmother, didn't she seem a lot older than women her age would seem now? I know I
well,
had that
yeah.
experience. My grandmother seemed
for
ancient.
Sure.
Okay, and
for
now
sure.
A woman, now I'm 60, the same age as when I remember looking at my grandmother, and I was probably 9 or something, and thought, oh my gosh, she's so old. She looks so old. And I'm her age, and I look in the mirror and think, well, we're definitely past that 25, but we don't look as old as grandma. So a
mm-hmm.
lot has changed, and I think we have the sass in our step, and we feel comfortable in doing anything we want to do as modern women, and we're happy to
yeah.
dye our hair or not, wear makeup or not, whatever we feel good with, and I think it's an attitude that comes from the inside. That helps.
Yeah, that was something that I learned to wonderful comment. I was at a seminar that Naomi Judge just happened to be one of the people.
Oh, wow.
I believe it was some type of, it's been quite a few years ago. It may have had something to do with, gosh, I want to say helping girls that were in trouble and some kind of, it wasn't a fundraiser, but it was something to elevate awareness about some issues. But I had an opportunity to talk with her briefly, and she is just so stunning. She is just so beautiful.
She is. She's incredible.
And I just, you know, I'm sure she had heard it at least a million times, but you have to tell her because it's just really real. And she said that she thought that real beauty had everything to do with attitude and the smile. I thought that was one of the most incredible things to say when you're that, you know, that gorgeous. But I think, you know, it is, with what we're getting ready to talk about, it is important to understand that beauty really is more than what we do to our faces topically. And I think it's the thing that so many people appreciate, of course, and value even more. I think we've become a very conscious society of trying to, you know, have these outstanding, beautiful looks, and certainly that's fun, and it's, you know, a good thing if that's what you love. But I do want to make sure we're coming out of the gate, letting people know that you've heard of beauty's only skin deep. Well, that topical beauty really is, and it's important to have the other assets that contribute to really being a beautiful woman, being a beautiful man, and that's your personality, that's your attitude as well.
That's so true.
With that being
exactly
said,
right. Mm-hmm.
With that being said, I know old school used to teach us that there are three basic steps that we need to follow for skincare. And I wanted to know what it is that you suggest as a, you know, a daily protocols for making sure we're doing the best things for our care?
Well, the three steps are still the basics, and if I can't get someone to do four or five, I will say, please, at least do the three. At least do the three. I'm happy when I can get a woman to wash her face at night. I remember first starting out in this industry, and I would have women admit to me that they didn't always do that. And that's a pretty aging thing that you do to your skin. You know, it's like not taking out your trash at night. It's kind of like not brushing your teeth at night, which is a little harder to imagine for some people. So that gives them a perspective. So proper cleansing that's not too rough, gentle, but with a good product that's formulated for whatever your skin type is, that is your first step. I'm also a big fan of toners. They used to call them astringents, but they used to be very, very harsh on the skin. And I find that people tend to be a little rougher on their skin than they really should be. So a gentle toner that just instantly brings your pH back to its happy place. That's a very important step. And then your moisturizer. Very important, those three. Now, I love serums. I'm a big fan of serums and treatments. But if you do those three, that's going to get you through.
Let's talk about the cleansing process, because when we walk through any of the beauty cosmetic departments in the stores, and you know, even in the drug stores and grocery stores now, the displays are really full. Even as I said, in the drugstore, grocery store, they've made them much more attractive, and there's lots to choose from. Anything from a couple of bucks to you know, hundreds of dollars if you're in a department store. There are cleansers available. There's all types of cleansers available. Now, I have not literally put soap in my on my face in, let's see, 45 years. I haven't used any
good
soap.
Good for you.
Maybe even longer. No soap is going on this face. I will use any thing other than, and when I say that, I will use something that breaks down makeup, something that I know will lift off residue if I haven't had makeup on, something that I will use warm water. I will use something that is not going to strip my face of any of the natural moisture or oils that are in it.
Yes, very important.
Absolutely. And so I say that to say, I know a lot of people feel that that whole big sudsing thing, and, you know, we'll see commercials with some soap. And I remember clearly when I went to modeling school, my instructor said something that was hard to forget. And she said, I want all of you young ladies to remember that washing your face with bath soap is like taking a bath with Tide.
Wow, good analogy. I think she's right.
Yeah, of course. And so I you know, I would like to suggest, and I don't have it to be right, because maybe some people have to deal with some grittier, grimier situations, you know, that they're exposed to on a daily basis. And, you know, it sounds humorous, but I don't mean it funny in that sense, really, because I know that there are other types of occupations and things where you may need to be more conscious of how clean you get your face. And so
sure.
I'm not saying that this is the, you know, one thing to do. I'm just putting it out there because I believe it's just helped me in a lot of ways to save some of the premature aging that could occur. What would you suggest, Carol, as far as some cleansers? And I think it's okay. I mean, you must use a lot of products, or can suggest some to people that you feel would be, you know, the right products to choose. Some of the more,
yes, I love,
you know,
products.
The more.
I'm a total product junkie. I have a huge makeup kit. I have I'm a little bit of a snob where ingredients are concerned. So over the years, I have learned that for most people's skin, the more natural the product, the gentler it's going to be on the skin. And I have filled my own kit with lots of natural products, things that are plant-based. They just tend to be, like I said, a little gentler. They tend not to give as many allergic reactions. And sometimes you're going to pay a little bit more for them, but actually you can have any kind of budget and you can find something that is very gentle and natural. You can go to the vitamin shop and pull something rather simple off the shelf for $15, and it may not, you know, turn back 20 years in time, but it's certainly not going to do you any damage, and it's going to do the job and actually do a very nice job. I'm not a huge fan of a lot of the department store things because I think they have a lot of perfumes in them and a lot of artificial colors. And those ingredients tend to be problematic for most people. And that stuff builds up in your skin and in your body. One of my pet peeves is that people don't understand.
Oh, that's something to think about.
Oh, yeah, because it's like you're eating it. In fact, it's sometimes a little faster and more deadly. Because when you eat something that's toxic, it's going to go through your liver, which is going to filter out part of it, and it might make you sick, but your body has mechanisms to get rid of that. You'll throw it up. You'll pass it in your urine, or you'll have a strange bowel movement. See, we're talking about skin. We're going to have to go there, Silver. I'm sorry. But that happy colon is happy skin. We'll get to nutrition in a moment. But when you put something on your skin that has a toxin, there's no filter. Your skin is your filter for your body, but it goes in and your bloodstream is so close. Your pores are right there. It goes right into your body. So it gets into your organs pretty quickly. So I like natural products. It's something to think about. And no one thought of this 20 years ago. But now people are looking for these plant-based things and things that have natural honey and things that have aloe and things that have ginseng and things that have the more bioavailable forms of vitamin A and vitamin E and vitamin C. And that's just a sexy way to say your skin can get to it. It can get in where it needs to get to and do its job, bioavailable. So there's a lot. There's thousands of products out there. There's thousands.
So then are we going to tell people then that they should just kind of go at the consult of the person that they're encountering at a store? Or what are we going to tell them so that they do the right thing? Make sure they're reading labels. Is that the key thing?
Yeah. You know, there's no shortcut for this, unfortunately. I learned about sensitivities with skin myself over years and years of using things that my skin was not happy about, and I had to learn the hard way. And unfortunately, sensitivities are so individual that you kind of have to test it out that way yourself. With all due respect to who I call the counter girls, the lovely people that are behind the counter at the stores trying to sell you something, some of them work on commission. And bless their hearts, they have a job to do. So their job is first and foremost to fill up your bag with as much as possible and send you home with it. And it's a little bit more secondary as to what might be ideal for you. I don't think I've ever had any of them say, you know what, this is not the product for you. You should go across to the other counter there. I think that's better for your skin type. They're just not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of have to, you do need to educate yourself. You do need to read a little bit, research a little bit about skin and skin types. And you know what? Makeup artists know so much about skin. They have to, because it's the canvas. They're painting on a canvas. And we don't always work on models and actresses, because models and actresses are very savvy with skin. They know all about how skin is so important to their look. And a great canvas means beautiful makeup and beautiful photography and a beautiful video. They understand how it keeps them looking young and vibrant. And the camera sees this. Cameras see a lot of detail. So anyone who's, of course, if you're in Baltimore, call me and I'll tell you all about it. But if you're not in Baltimore or anywhere near, find a good makeup artist in your town. you know, pick their brain, take them out for a drink or a cup of coffee, or pay them for a little bit of their time, however you want to work out the deal with them, and just say, hey, what do you use? What would you suggest? You can also go get a facial. I love facials. Of course, they're also going to try to sell you something, but I think you probably have a better shot at getting a more high-level product that might be better for the skin. They are actively going to pull something off the shelf that is good for your skin type. So at least you'll have that.
You just have to decide on your budget before you go.
Right. Well, I think in this day and time, it's just very smart to get professional advice. I really do. The independent sales consultants can offer that, but I think it's well worth the time and the money to pay someone who can look at your skin and correctly analyze some of the things you may need for your particular care, or some things that you may be trying to remedy, or whatever the case may be, if you've got some issues that you need, you know, to have addressed or whatever. So those three things, the cleansing, the toning, I wonder if a lot of people really understand what toning does. It really is an important part of the process. You want to tell people quickly what it does?
I would love to. I'm a huge toner fan. Toner is, it serves two purposes. First of all, it cleans up whatever little dirt or makeup or oil, excess oil, would still be left that your cleanser may have left behind, and a little extra cleanser if you didn't get it all washed off. And secondly, and this is most important, it instantly restores the pH of your skin. And pH is something that people learn about in chemistry class in probably seventh grade, and they don't think much about it after that. But everything in the world revolves around pH. It's the level of acid or alkaline that's in your skin. Your blood has a certain pH, your skin has a pH, your stomach has a pH, everything has its own pH. And to operate efficiently, meaning to feel good, to look beautiful, to last a long time, it likes to be in its happy place. So if you think of skin as having a happy place that's just a little bit more acid, not so much neutral. Neutral is 7, right in the middle, between 0 and 14. Skin likes to hang out at around 5 or 6. So you got a little bit more acid, and that means you are protected from bacteria. So your skin has a natural protection from all the bacteria out there in the world. So if your skin is healthy, it can literally help you stay a healthier person, which I find is very interesting. I think that's very interesting. So toner does that for you.
Sure.
Instantly comes back right away. Because if you're toning, excuse me, if your skin is not at the proper pH, it's not going to be able to absorb moisture efficiently, and it won't be able to retain it. It's kind of a weird thing with skin. It's got to be in the right mood. It's like playing the right music for it, bringing the roses, cooking the dish. It's got to be in the mood. You put the skin in the mood, give it some toner, bring it to its happy place, and then you give it the moisture, and it's good.
Yeah, and moisturizers, too, are they're just really critical. A lot of people think if they're living in warmer climates or it's humid and they're always sweaty, they may not need to do that. But moisturizer is really essential to keep your face replenished. So speak to that, and then I want to ask you a couple of other questions.
Okay. Yeah, I want to talk about exfoliating if we have time. Because that's one of my big faves. But moisturizing is critical. Everybody needs it. Oily skin needs it. Dry skin needs it, of course. Everyone does. Even with someone with oily skin and I'm doing their face, I'll give them certain treatments to kind of calm the oil down and make the skin a little happier. Because super oily skin is an imbalance coming from the inside anyway. And I can do a few things to help the makeup stay if their skin is oily. But moisturizer is a wonderful foundation base. It helps the skin take in vitamins. A good moisturizer will contain antioxidant vitamins, which everybody needs. And it's just
it just gives you that smooth, beautiful feeling, and it helps nourish your skin. So you wake up in the morning and you have a pretty glow. You used the word glow at the beginning of the show. I love the word glow. That's what you want your skin to look like. You want it to have a beautiful, vibrant glow to it, because a glow means it's healthy.
And that's exactly what happens if you are following those steps faithfully. That is what you do, how you look. You absolutely do have this kind of a glistening glow to your skin. That is for sure. Okay, mm-hmm. So now we want people to know they definitely need to follow those three steps. That is the key to maintaining a good healthy skin. I want to talk about, you mentioned this a little bit, about spa treatments, salon treatments. I know that that's to another level of care. Can you speak to that? Would people go to get special treatments, the exfoliating, the mask, the steaming, all of those things? Can you tell us, do you feel that those are necessary? Is that something we just do because it makes us feel so wonderful? What are your thoughts?
Oh, it's marvelous. I would, if I had the time and the money, I would do it every week. I would always be at the spa getting something rubbed or scraped or, oh, my God, it's wonderful. If you can afford it, ideally, of course, a facial once a month is the best thing that you could do for your skin. If you can't do that, then you can kind of do it yourself at home. And there are certain things you can do. But a professional facial is amazing. And those people, they know their stuff, and they can do so many amazing things for you. They have, you'll get cleansed two or three times. They do exfoliating. They'll work with different serums. They'll do extractions. That's something that most people should not try at home. You can cause a little damage with that. So best left for professionals with extractions. But they do mm-hmm. all kinds of electric stimulation treatments. They do the steaming. It's such a science now. We've learned so much over the years about skin and how it operates. I like to say that people think of their skin really like a surface, like it's the granite countertop in their kitchen, but it's not. It's this amazing universe of its own with all these layers and functions and so much coming and going. Taking in nutrients, it's excreting, it's literally breathing in a certain way. You can feed it through the moisturizers that you use with vitamins and things, and it's a living alive. So when you do a special treatment, just like when you go to the salon to get your hair done, or you have a special professional that teaches you, this is the shampoo for your hair type. Your hair is too dry for this, your hair is curly, you need this. Certain skin types need a little bit more care, just like certain hair types do. People will spend a fortune on their hair, and they kind of don't think of their skin in the same way. Now, the European women, they're all over it. They are totally about skin. They love that vibrant glow. They're always eating healthy. They're always doing facials and spa treatments, and it's a way of life for them. They have that understanding about skin and the connection to health and looking younger and feeling better. It's all connected. So, yeah, I would live at the spa if I could.
Okay,
I would
ladies
totally
and gentlemen,
live at the
we
spa.
Know that's a go.
Absolutely, do it. Do it. Well, here's one thing that you can do at home, because if you can't afford to live at the spa, because we can't all do that, you know, you can get so much bang for your buck at home with just a gentle scrub and exfoliating. People do not exfoliate. That's the first thing I have to do when I do makeup for someone
and they're not
an actress or model. Good for you. That's because you're beautiful. I can tell from your headshot that you exfoliate. I know it. And I tell you what, it is one of the easiest and fastest things you can do to literally take off some years, because you're taking off layers of dead skin. Now, any woman mm-hmm. of color is very familiar with the term ashy. And it's mm-hmm. kind of funny mm-hmm. because everybody gets that. It's just that you can't notice it as readily on somebody that has a lighter skin tone. The deeper the natural skin tone is, the more you can see the dead skin on the surface. and it tends to collect around the edges of the face, edges of the nose and mouth and so on, and or like on the arms and legs, the fronts of the arms and legs. And you don't see it on the trunk of the body as much, but when the skin is exposed to the elements and it's not being exfoliated, that dead stuff just kind of hanging there. So this is where you get your loofah in the shower, or you get a washcloth when you're washing your face. You mentioned the splashing with the big bubbles and the suds from modeling school, and I just do not get what that is about. I'm a washcloth girl. I like to have something to not scrub hard, but you need a little bit of texture, and you need a little bit of the natural exfoliation. And literally every other day, I will exfoliate my face because, first of all, I can just, it like changes color to me. It's a really funny thing to do on someone with darker skin. They kind of freak. They're like, oh, my God, what did you do? I said, I'm showing you what color you really are. And they're just gorgeous. It just, their natural tone just is deep and shines through. But it happens for anybody. You can just see it more on a deeper skin tone. So exfoliating.
Yeah, it's pretty.
You know.
It's pretty
getting off the barnacle.
How
it is.
Yeah. It really does. It's amazing how it's like you just took a layer off of your face, and then you've got this beautiful, as you just talked about, glowy looking skin.
Yeah.
It's true.
Exactly. You can't take off the barnacle.
Well, you know, there's just one. There's one last area I want us to talk about because of its popularity, and that is the surgery that people are using. Plastic surgery's always been around, but there are some things that are in more recent times that I guess I'm interested in having you speak to. Now, I haven't done anything to my face at all. I have no nips. I have no tucks. I have no fillers. I have nothing. But it's only because I haven't needed it. If I do, then I'm gonna be definitely looking into it. But I have absolutely nothing done. Well, you know, I'm kind of. I don't know if afraid is the right word, but I see so many people with that they don't look like they did. They have removed some lines and wrinkles, and there's this new thing I've noticed with some of the celebrities with the eye work being done, that they're being given a slight slant upward with the with the eye surgery. And it's beautiful. I mean, I think it's gorgeous the way it looks. It's so slight, but it's a wonderful, you know, almost a cat eye type of look. It's really, really pretty. Those things look good. If you've got a really great surgeon and they're doing the work in the way it should be done with the type of perfection you would in art that you would with a face. But I'm seeing others who are getting these fillers and things that I kind of turn my head sideways looking and thinking,
what were they thinking?
What? Because it just looks, overdone. And honestly, I think a lot of women who have aged and haven't done anything look absolutely beautiful too. I mean, I think they look wonderful. I think it's all about, you know, a line and wrinkle doesn't necessarily take away the fact that you're gorgeous. It doesn't. You're going to look older, but it doesn't take away the fact that you can look gorgeous. But I see a lot of women filling in every line, every wrinkle, every thing that looks like it might turn into one, and there's these big puffy looking faces that are not, I think, really as attractive to an onlooker as the person with it may have hoped it would be. I think a woman may feel better about herself without them, but I'm trying to come up with all kinds of phrasing, not to sound insulting to anybody, because I think
you're
we all do whatever
careful,
we want to
yeah.
do. Yeah,
well
I because I really do. It's their money and their decisions. But
sure.
I think if you're trying
sure.
to achieve a beautiful look at a certain age and stage, I think that, you know, these fillers, and I don't know yet if they've been around long enough that we can determine how safe they are. So
they actually haven't.
I said all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they haven't.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said all that to say to you, it's your platform now. You talk back to us about what I've just said.
Okay. This is a fascinating subject. I think this depends on
mm-hmm.
two things. I think the first depends on, for each person, because men are the fastest growing category for plastic surgery. They're getting all kinds of stuff done. So it's men and women. The sad thing is when you start to see teenagers doing it, because I think their faces are not finished, and I think their parents really ought to be giving them some self-esteem lessons and saying, hey, you know, it just wait till you get to a certain age, whatever. But at any rate, men and women are doing it. But I think it depends on two things. I think it depends on what you're trying to achieve, because maybe some people go into it with a very vague idea. They just want to look like they did when they were 25, or they just want to look younger in some way, or they just, and I think it also depends on how they feel about themselves inside. If you're doing it to compensate in some way for a lack of self-esteem or a lack of self-love, or if you just got dumped by your husband or your boyfriend, or if you've lost an important job or what, it's the kind of thing that you have to go into with a very clear, level head and a very, very good surgeon. And I see nothing wrong with doing it if you know exactly what you want and it's your money and your face and you're cool with it and you're saying, okay, well, I want to look 45. Okay, great, there's a goal. Knock 15 years off. Or I want my skin to look smoother, or I want my eyes to look a little more wide open, or I want this little belly roll, or whatever the deal is. And then they just feel fresh, they feel good, they feel sexy, a little confident, and they're on with their day. But the people that you see that are kind of like the junkies, they keep doing it, are the ones that overdo it. If you remember the first Wives Club movie, which was so funny, this is about 20 years ago, when Goldie Hawn kept getting the plastic
mm-hmm.
surgery and she had the huge lips. They actually injected saline in her lips to give her this look. It was incredible. It must have been so painful. It looked painful. And it was a parody, of course. They were making fun of what some women do after these big life changes. So when you have people
but
like
that. But that's the look I'm talking about, Carol.
That is the look you're talking about.
A lot
about.
Of women are doing that.
I know, and it doesn't look real. I think it looks creepy.
It doesn't.
Because they look fake. They look like androids, or they look like something on Star Trek, or they don't look like a real person. Because you look at them and you're like, wait a minute. I mean, you're younger than you, and you just have nothing going on in your face. So, I mean, what is it that you really want? Do you want to look like you have never smiled, like that woman you spoke about in the beginning of the show? Is that the point? You got to decide what your point is. I like Audrey Hepburn's attitude. I like, you know, Naomi who said, you know, here's what real beauty is. And yeah, sure, I'm going to pull out the eyeliner tricks. I could show you stuff with highlighter. I have wrinkles, but people don't think I have wrinkles. But you can
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
you can distract and you can hide them, and a good foundation. My God, that is one of the best anti-aging tricks ever. A really good foundation that works for you, that's the right color. You gotta sit by the window and pick it out, though. You can't do it in the store. Get samples. Take them home. Sit by a window. Again, have a professional help you with that. There's so much you can do. And it's just sad to me that a woman who's really beautiful, or a man, I mean, poor Michael Jackson. Oh, my gosh. I mean, this. You look at this progression and like, what a sad soul. If it's a lack of self-love or a lack of self-confidence, I think that's a different thing. So, you know, God bless anybody
who
wants to do it. But
right. I think it's a whole other, you know, thing when we're talking about people who are so very visible, and their careers and things are based on their looks. They you know, have a and probably should have a different kind of approach and attitude about it. But I know that we're speaking to general public, to you and I, when we're talking about this, that just want to be, what is the word you use, and I really like that word a lot, vibrant looking. We want that glow.
Vibrant.
We want to
mm-hmm.
have that, do those things that just help us have very healthy looking skin. Because if you do, if you've gone through enough of the effort to make sure you do have a healthy glowing skin, chances are you're also going to be picking out the right cosmetics if you use them to enhance that natural beauty as
exactly.
well. So I do understand that the whole, you know, as a former professional model, and I still am a semi working talent, and it's important to have that, you know, super duper kind of look with makeup that you know, just makes you more appealing in front of cameras and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But for the average everyday woman who is just, again, at any age and stage of life wanting to maintain a good regimen, I hope we've been able to share some general ideas that will help her understand, you know, the right approach to that. Definitely would suggest someone like yourself. In fact, you know, I would like for you to let people know how they can reach out to you. I'm sure you must do some online work or a consultant over the phone and things like that as well, and guide people some products if they can, you know, explain what they're trying to achieve. But I think we've offered quite a bit of information that can at least gear people in the right direction to help them with achieving the necessary knowledge for making sure that as they go forward in life, that they are maintaining a good skincare regimen. And I just truly want to emphasize, you know, looking beautiful is not just all of the stuff that we see. There are so many ways to be beautiful. And I don't know that, you know, there's a, you know, saying that, you know, the stars, the celebrities and models are the only way. It just isn't. So what we are talking about today is just working with your skin. That number one thing we're all thinking about, we don't want to look old. So we're trying to do those things that will keep that skin looking really, again, vibrant and fresh. Why don't you tell people, Carol, how they can reach out to you? I do have your website on the information for the show, but if there's some additional mm-hmm. information that you want to provide, email or phone or whatever, please go ahead and offer that information now.
Yes, people are welcome to email me. My email address is carolstover@comcast.net. Altogether one word, lowercase, carolstover@comcast.net. And you can email me your questions. You can, you know, if you can send a photograph, I'll give you a little diagnosis. I'll make you the beauty blog of the day if you like, and we'll post you and post your response and let everybody see what's going on. And I even give a little nutritional counseling too, because I'm a firm believer in the amazing connection between nutrition and how your skin looks and how you age. So I'll ask you the sugar question. I'll ask you the dairy question, like how many pieces of bread do you eat every day? What's going on with your sugar relationship and that type of thing. So it's amazing. There's so much you can do, and I love to share information. I love to share my experiences. So they can check me out online. They can look at my website. They can email me and request a copy of my little booklet. I have a very cute little booklet that I can email out to them with some of my fun skincare tips, and I think they'd enjoy it.
Do you have any one thing that you would say to anybody and everybody that they may just want to have a good takeaway tip tonight?
Hmm. Let's see. Wow, look at my whole list here. You know what? I think people could have more sex. That's one good thing. Exercise. Does sex count as exercise?
Did you say have more sex?
I did say have more sex. Well, it comes under the exercise. My tip, one of my tips is get out and exercise, do yoga, walk, run, swim, and have sex. It all counts. It burns calories. It puts the glow into your skin. It makes you happy and, you know, yeah. Gives you the energy to get up and exfoliate. You're going to remember that one, aren't you? See, they're going to remember this now.
Me and everybody else.
Of course. Hey, that's half the fight right there. And you know what? And have fun. And don't sweat it, because you're going to buy a million products that don't work and you'll have to feel your way through it. And try to keep a sense of humor. Try things. Get little samples. If you don't like it, take it back. You know, research, call professionals, get information, ask your friends what's worked for them. There's so many great beauty blogs out there, and you can learn a lot of info. People are into a sharing mood these days. Everybody wants to share what they think. So find some nice people that are sharing information and see what they say. There's a lot out there.
All right. Sounds good
and
to me.
And I will
me.
Share,
well,
too.
Yeah, thank you so much, Carol, for
You're
all
welcome.
That you have provided tonight. I think that's great. Cleanse, tone, moisturize, and have sex. Well, you heard it here
and
folks,
have sex.
First.
Exfoliate and nutrition, good nutrition, stop eating sugar, and have sex. That's it. That's all you need.
Well, that might work for a whole lot of things as well.
The best solutions always do.
I tell you, probably after this, if the people that hear it could put that on their to-do list to help a lot of things get better.
Hey, I'm here for them. I'm here for them. Happy to help.
That's phenomenal. Thank you, Carol, so much again. I appreciate you
My pleasure.
Coming in and sitting in tonight and sharing some of your knowledge and expertise with my listeners. Thanks a million. And I'll look forward to staying in touch. We are connected on Facebook, and we're going to keep in touch. And may have you come back, share some holiday ideas with as far as we talk about makeup at that time. So,
let's do some glamour makeup for holidays. Yes, perfect.
Yeah,
I would love to stay in touch for that.
All righty. Well, again, thank you. You enjoy the rest of your evening. Appreciate you so much.
Thank you, darling. My pleasure.
All right. You take care. Talk soon. Thank all of you, too, for taking the time to tune in tonight. Wasn't that some good stuff? You know, I like talking about a big variety of things, and sometimes it gets real serious, and sometimes it's just fun like tonight. And you know, we got to kind of find a really good balance when we're doing life anyway, and I try to bring that to the Foxology platform. So again, I want to thank you. Please tell your friends on social media about Foxology. Always I've got something that's interesting, entertaining, empowering, enlightening, and fun. So let them know. I am here usually once a week. I have decided just to kind of randomly schedule shows. I do that for my own self and for accommodating guests. It just kind of works out better that way sometimes when you lock it in and then other things happen and challenges that time slot. So I'm getting it in, though, and that's the good thing, and I'm glad that you're here to listen. So I want to tell you to have a good rest of your week. I'm going to look forward to talking to you on the next show, which will be very, very good. I'm going to have Mr. Corey Begees. He's the author of Once a Cop. He was a guest a few weeks ago. We talked about some of the things going on with police brutality and other things that were happening in that arena, but he's got a new book out and we're going to talk about that. So try to keep your eyes open for that information. All right. Okay. Well, I hope you have a good night in the meantime. And until the next time, be good, be blessed, be beautiful, and be awesome.